Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In your own mind, finish this sentence. What the world needs now is... What do you think the world needs most of all? Be careful. You might be tricked into finishing the sentence according to the popular song of an earlier era, if you're of a certain age. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. When we stop and think about it, that phrase really doesn't carry a whole lot of deep meaning. Of course, while the world pretends to know what it needs, the world actually really doesn't know what love, true love, is. The world says, show me that you love me, and it looks for returns, for payback. What's in it for me, people ask, expecting something in return. But the world, not knowing the author of love, not knowing the teacher of love, not knowing the gospel, the good news of God's love, they cannot know how to truly love. And having celebrated Easter as the world celebrates it, with bunnies and jelly beans and peeps and dyed eggs, none of which are wrong in and of themselves, but if that's all that the world's celebration of Easter is, then they don't understand what Easter really means. Having avoided the great resurrection teaching, its doctrinal impact and its practical impact for their lives, even the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, seems to be a bit tarnished and cliched. It has, in fact, become a bit of humanistic deception that threatens, actually, the very center of Christian faith, faith in Jesus. And so when a song, for example, suggests all you need is love, people are fooled into thinking that love just materializes simply by deciding to love, by feeling love, by making up your mind to love. Just think about it and then go right out and do it. Well, that kind of thinking really asks the impossible of people. We cannot love by ourselves, by decision. We cannot find the potential deep within ourselves nor by ourselves to be truly loving. We may try, but ultimately, by ourselves, we fail. And as God tells us through his Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we are not sufficient through ourselves, but our sufficiency comes from God. The world, the unbelieving world's inadequacy to love is evidenced all around us each and every day. The lovelessness of our present day merely verifies the fact that humankind, when left to ourselves, simply and ultimately makes an utter mess of everything. Even the man of God, the believer in Jesus, is ultimately helpless when we do not utilize the resources that God gives us in the gospel. And the verses of our sermon text today illustrate the conditions under which Christian love really counts. These verses speak to the person who doesn't know why Christ's presence should be such a conscious thing. These words are addressed to someone who is not confident of the Lord's strength. And to such a person, the Lord Jesus gives the one thing needful, the insight into his redeeming love. That is the source of love and continued faith for us and for everyone else. You see, you can want to be loving, but not know really how. You can think that you are loving, but still not really know how. You can even be complimented for your love in a worldly sense. You could receive an award or a trophy for your outstanding love to others, but still not know how to truly love as God loves. And so where do we learn this true love? From Jesus. He is the only source of learning about true love. And he calls us to learn from him. Jesus says in our reading, "As I have loved you." This is the gospel, the good news. If you've never heard it before, you can hear it right now. And you can hear it also right here every Sunday. This church is dedicated to proclaiming the gospel, the good news of God's love, as the heart of our faith. And if you heard the gospel last week, then you will be delighted to hear it again this week. If you are living in the gospel, it will thrill you to experience God's love yet again, and it will strengthen you to greater faith and service to Christ and to others. And this is the gospel, that God became man in Christ Jesus. And he did so in order to love the unlovable, to love us sinful people. Mankind was lovable at first when God created first the male and female, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, in total perfection and harmony with him and his will. But mankind is no longer by nature lovable because something happened. Mankind fell into sin and thus became eternally separated from God. But God came to mankind in the person of Jesus Christ. Right in the middle of our letting him down by our sins, he comes to us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. At the most critical point of our separation from God, the most difficult time, Jesus demonstrated his selfless love for us. Now, from our perspective, it's easy to love someone else when they show signs of love toward you. It's, by contrast, difficult to love someone when they return your attempts at showing love with spite and malice in response. Jesus came to a fallen world in the midst of spite and malice, to a world guilty of doing everything else that separates God from man. And he redeemed us. He bought us back from the penalty that our sins deserve, back into a harmonious relationship with God. He reunited us, brought God and man back into relationship with each other through his sacrifice on the cross. That is the gospel, the good news. God loves you and me infinitely in Jesus Christ, our Savior. In spite of what we have done, he loves us. Because he loves us, he gives us free forgiveness and grace through faith in Jesus as the Savior. This is the gospel of the love of God in Jesus Christ. It is a love so great that God takes upon his own shoulders the punishment that everyone else deserved for their sins. That is the source of true love. The gospel is a blessing to those who recognize their own personal inadequacy. As God tells us in his word in Ephesians chapter 2, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, not by works, so that no one can boast. And in this chapter of John's gospel, our sermon text for this morning, John chapter 13, the disciples were together with Jesus celebrating the Passover. After Judas, the betrayer, had left, they had just finished eating together with Jesus, the Lord's Supper that he instituted. And in the midst of that drama of Judas going to carry out the work of his betrayal, which would ultimately lead to Jesus' suffering and death on the cross, right in the midst of that, and to prepare his disciples for that upcoming drama and his suffering and death, Jesus tells them about his deep and abiding love for them. And in the midst of our drama of life, Jesus also speaks to us through the gospel. His purpose in doing so is so that he may live in us, in our hearts. And his purpose is so that we would reciprocate and live in him and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. This glorifies the Son. And as Jesus said in our reading, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and in him God is glorified. Christ's love for humankind glorifies God. That love has already glorified God. Through Jesus' work of redeeming the entire world from its sins, God is glorified. Jesus redeemed mankind, not only to make God look good in his love for all people, but to glorify God with all glory. And God is revealed for all people as the God of justice who must punish every sin. But at the same time, God is revealed as the God of love who gives his only begotten Son to die for the sins of the whole world. Everyone who believes in God the Son as their personal Savior from sin has eternal life as a free gift from God's great grace. Nothing glorifies God more than Jesus preparing all people through his redemption to be ready to face God in judgment through faith in the Savior and to live as God's children. Nothing glorifies God more than Jesus redeeming the world for him. And as Christ glorifies God, so also God glorifies Christ in Jesus' resurrection and his ascension. Christ's glory is that he is to implement the purpose of God in the world, and that is our glory as well. We become aware of God's love in Jesus Christ, so aware, in fact, that we want to let our lights shine to other people, to let others know about God's love for us and for all of them. This good news of God's love is everything to us. It is the basis and the foundation for our whole lives. It is the basis for all our relationships. It's the basis for all the decisions that we make in life. The basis for our relationship with God, both now and for all eternity. The love that God showed for us in Christ Jesus on the hill of Calvary on the cross is now to be passed on to those around us and to everyone around the whole world. But before we can pass his love along to others, we must first know this love intimately ourselves. How could we witness to the glorious, victorious life of Christ to others if we have not first discovered it and its impact for ourselves and our own lives? And so think about, do other people around you in your life see the love of Christ in the way that you live? When we talk about this kind of love, it's not the kind of love that says, oh, what a cute little baby, so sweet. It's not the kind of love that is simply doing charity for charity's sake. It's not the kind of love which is dutifully, sometimes begrudgingly carried out in order to avoid some negative consequences. No, it is the kind of love that gives a new start. As we read in the second reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's a kind of love that doesn't keep score, that doesn't keep a record of the wrongs that someone else has done to us, that doesn't hold grudges. It is the opposite of boasting and arrogance. It's the opposite of looking for what you can get in return for what you do. It's the opposite of wanting your own way. Godlike love in Christ is the opposite of a broken relationship. When this godly love is in us, it's the opposite of rejection and exclusion. Christ-like love is that love which gives of itself fully without looking for anything in return. It's a 1,000% kind of love, a total giving of self. And this is the love that God wants us to reflect to others. It's a total way of life. And it's as easy as reflecting, just as a mirror reflects whatever is within the line of sight of that mirror. We, similarly, simply reflect the love that comes from the source of love, from Jesus our Savior. And so once we have the light source, the source of God's love for us through Jesus, then we can reflect that love to others. Without the light, a mirror will reflect nothing in total darkness. But with the light of God's love within us, we can simply spread it to others by reflecting God's love, by giving it away freely, just as he has given it to us. Jesus said to his disciples, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you also ought to love one another." This is the pattern for our love. This is the example of how to truly love, love as God intended. "As I have loved you," Jesus says. That is the way. Our love is to be patterned after God's love for us in Christ. It's like an equation. Our love is to measure up to Christ's love, be similar to his love, give as fully as Christ gave, bend over backwards for others as far as Christ did for us. We wouldn't want our own way any more than Jesus wanted his own way. Keep score, keep a record of wrongs as little as Jesus did, which is, of course, none at all. Break relationships as little as Jesus did, which was never. Reject others as little as he rejected others. It's truly impressive to see how many ways Jesus showed his love. The most impressive is that Jesus showed his love even for his enemies by not fighting back. We have so many occasions on which we are tempted to lash back in anger at those who hurt us. And in this world, if a person doesn't fight back and defend themselves, they are called a fool. So what? The lesson for us, taught to us in the very lifeblood of our teacher, our Savior, "As a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth." He could have fought back. He is God with all the power of God. He could have called a legion of angels to defend him, but he did not. And so as hard as it might be, God's love calls us to refrain from fighting back. Hold back from seeking revenge. If the world calls this foolishness, then it means being a fool. Being willing to become a fool in the eyes of the world for the sake of God and his love. The whole issue is how someone can know who is a disciple of Jesus. And there is a way. A disciple of Jesus is truly different. Not different because he suffers less, not different because he is better looking or better dressed. No, the follower of Jesus is different by the way that he or she loves. This is the new commandment of our Savior. It's a commandment which is always seen in relation to his redemption. That he redeemed us makes this love possible within us. And it's the only thing which can make it happen. Practicing this love as redeemed people of God results in greater joys and abundant life. Do you want to learn how to truly love? Then learn how to glorify Christ by your life. That is a good desire to have. It's the most complete purpose for your life. If you glorify Christ by patterning your life after his, even if you don't accomplish much by worldly standards, you would be eminently successful. If you, by contrast, do not glorify Christ and God in your life through selfless love, even though you make millions or billions of dollars and leave a legacy of fame in the world's eyes, you will, in God's sight, be a total failure. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. That is not the main purpose of life. It is the only purpose of life. We are still alive on this day in order to glorify God. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." God says to you, "Show me that you love me. Let your light shine." Not in order to make yourself look good, not even to make another person look good. No, set an example in life in order to make God look good, to glorify him. Let those around you see firsthand how they also can glorify God. That is how to truly live. We have no business saying to others, show me that you love me. Only God can demand that of us. Christ says that to you and to me. Show me that you love me. He has a right to expect of us to show him that. Because Christ has shown you that he loves you, you show love now to others. That is your motivation. That is your method. Love others as Jesus has loved you, just because you want to, because of everything that Jesus has done for you. He loved you. He truly loved you, not because you are so lovable because of good things that you have done, but simply because he himself is love, true love. As Jesus says in John chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a person remains in me and I in him, he can bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. We cannot truly love apart from Christ. The risen Christ is our life-giving vine who gives us nourishment so that we can produce fruit of good deeds of love in our lives. We are attached, connected to him through faith. God will be glorified. Finally, when we receive the gift of eternal life, of everlasting life, life forever with him in the glory of heaven. And of that final gift of eternal life, we can be fully confident because our assurance does not come from ourselves and from our own good works, but it comes from God, from the giver of grace. And meanwhile, here on earth, it is not for us to make demands of others. Our concern is with ourselves, that we show Jesus that we love him. Remember this, the ability to truly love comes only in response to his love for us. If you forget that, then you have forgotten everything that truly matters. Ignore those promptings of his love, and you will never learn to truly love. Put your confidence in the gospel. Receive the love of Jesus through the Holy Spirit, and then you will be equipped with the love that can reach the whole world. What the world needs now is Jesus and his love. By faith in Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit, live each day so as to fulfill the needs of the person who is saying to you, show me that you love me. Amen.